Blog Talk Radio.
Our draft show, but here it is, July 30th, and we are 5 days away from our first football action, 5 days away from the Hall of Fame game where my Dallas Cowboys will be playing host to the Miami Dolphins. That will be the first football action that we will have had since the Super Bowl. All right. Well, actually, I mean, I guess you could say since the Pro Bowl, but the Pro Bowl, isn't that played now a week off? So yeah, since the Super Bowl. So this is it. So this is our first real football. You know, we've had the draft, we've had OTAs and conditioning and all these things, but we haven't had football. And I'm not going to let people say, oh, man, time flies. You look back on it and it just flew by. It did not fly by for me. It's been a long time. I mean, since the Super Bowl in February, the beginning of February, and now we're at the end of June. So let's just say for all practical purposes, 6 months, it's been 6 months. And it feels every second of 6 months. So it is not flown by for me. It's been a long time, but you know what? A lot has gone on. It in one respect, it feels like it's been a long 6 months because we haven't had any football action. But then at the same time, there's been so much. It feels like it was not really an off season on that level because there's been so much news with the trades and retirements and, you know, good stuff and bad stuff. And, you know, we'll get into some of that stuff tonight on the show. But it seems that football never really left the airwaves. There was always something to discuss. So I don't know. But we're back. It's me, Commissioner T, back hosting you here on the Madden Voice. And if you want to call in, I'll give you the call-in number in a second. Here it is, 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. You can tweet us at The Madden Voice if you like. Go on to Facebook and like our Facebook page. You know, I'm happy with all of you loyal fans, and I'm mad at you at the same time because the numbers – of archive shows that you all listen to in the off season is just incredible to me that, we won't do a show for a month and people are still listening to our shows, constantly during the off season. And we appreciate the love and support. Well, why don't you guys go on the Facebook page and like the page? You know, I don't understand that. Cause the number of people that listen to the show is 10 times more than has liked our Facebook page or follows us on Twitter. So will y'all just take a minute now, since most of you guys do archive anyway, just take a minute. Go ahead and pause the show. You got my permission. Pause the show and go ahead over and just go to the Facebook right now and just type in the Madden Voice and like the page for me, please. Just go ahead and do me that one favor. And when you're done with that, then go ahead on to Twitter and just put in, you know, at the Madden Voice, all right? And then just follow us, okay? And resume the show, okay? Did y'all do that? Are you back now? Okay, great. Appreciate that. All right. As you know, I don't do this by myself. I lost one. This is the intriguing part of live radio via the internet, is because now I'm broadcasting live. And in case you guys don't know, I also produce the show. So, you know, I man the switchboard and check the chat room and keep us on agenda, too. So it's not just sitting up here talking sports. It's making sure the show goes smoothly. And one of the things that I have to do is bring on the co-host. And if they're not on the air, then I have to kind of keep going until they decide to come in and join us. And then once in a while, a co-host will call in from a number that I don't recognize. You have to understand how the Blog Talk radio system works. You call me, I can see your number. So don't try to, like, play no games. I can see the number you're calling from. And so if we arrange a special guest, they give us a number, and I know they're calling in. Same thing with the co-host. I know their number that they've been using, so I can see them, and I know they're on the air. And one I can see right now, I see another guy, but I don't recognize the number. So here I am on live radio wondering, is that Dr. Train on that number or not? And I don't know. So we're going to leave him there for a minute, but we are going to bring on the other co-host. And this guy, I don't know. Now, I haven't kept up with Madden in a while. Be honest, I really haven't, but you know, he annually is one of the top Madden players in the NFL or in Madden, and he's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and you know, if you've never heard me and this guy go at it on the air, we definitely don't always see things eye to eye, and with some of the topics that'll be coming up tonight, I'm pretty sure we're gonna go right back into not seeing things eye to eye. But he's my co-host, and he's still my brother, and I'm going to bring him on, and that is K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Not the other co-host. Let's clarify that right now. The co-host, Train, you're not here, so I got to take a shot at you, although if you were, so would. The co-host is back, and I'm happy to be here with the team. And I'm just happy, man. It's that time of year.
Well, when I say other, whoever I introduce first, the second guy is the other. And so right now he's the other, you know, right? And you're the co-host and he's the other, you know, because I'm sitting here. It's actually pretty funny. I'm looking at a number that I don't recognize, so I don't know if it's Train. So we're going to go ahead and bring this other guy on the air and see who this is. We don't know who this is, so this is the beauty of live radio. 2-4, you are sitting on hold. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
I love y'all to death. That is funny. Yes.
Yeah.
It is yours truly, Dr. Train, from one of the newer area codes of California, 424.
Did you
have this number in your memory bank, man?
Did you think to maybe let me know that you'd be calling in from a different number or possibly check your cell phone?
I've used this number before, so I thought you had it in there. I thought you had it locked in.
I know your cell number. That's the only one I know.
You know what? That's it. Perfect. He's a state dropper. He just want to remind everyone he's in California. He did it on purpose.
You know, and if you look at your phone now, you'll see a text message from me saying, is that you? See, you understand what I'm saying? So, okay, so now I know, and now it's official, if I see this number. But, you know, I'm not like a human telephone book. I can't remember all the numbers, so you got to give me a little heads up so I can give you a proper introduction. But as we have now determined, tonight has joined us, the man who has relocated from Tennessee to California, the man who does have his PhD, the man who is the EAFL Super Bowl I champion. We love it. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Dude, I am so happy we are back. You know, I resulted to watching CFL. That's how bad it was getting. I would have watched Pop Warner if they'd have been.
What are you doing in California watching the CFL? I don't understand.
Look,
like, dude,
I needed football. What do you expect me to do?
I mean, you could go out on the beach and play some sand. It's like beach football at that point. Sorry to our Canadian followers out there. We love you guys, but you're listening to the NFL show, so what can you do?
CFL, I don't care.
Well, I will say this. I was watching. We just hired Mark Trestman, so I was watching his old team and seeing what they were doing.
See,
that's valid.
Making it an NFL connection works for me.
See, bam. There you go.
Works. So let's start with some opening remarks. Whatever you guys, long, short, I don't care, unscripted, scripted, whatever. Opening remarks tonight. Let's start with the co-host, K-Star.
Well, a couple things, honestly. First of all, like I said, I'm just happy that it's that time of the year where when I wake up every day, when I'm at work in my office, I know the Pittsburgh Steelers are at work in their own office, which is the football field in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. That's a very beautiful thing. And, you know, so are the other 31 insignificant franchises in the NFL, but that's okay. I like to hear about them, too. I like to hear, you know, for fantasy purposes. That's about it. But in all seriousness, like I said, I'm just happy that we're all back, the football is back, like everyone's working. And honestly, I just keep my fingers crossed every day, just make sure the injury bug doesn't hit us. And also, even around the league, because I don't like to see people go down, although Dennis Pitta, although I'm not really, you know, I didn't exactly root for an injury. I'm not really like going to cry about that injury either. But again, like everyone at this point is just crossing their fingers, getting their fantasy draft boards ready, as you and I, you know, UT train, we all have some work to do as well, because we got a draft in a couple weeks. And it's just great, and I'm really excited. And like I said, man, this is awesome. Everyone's going to work, and it's about time.
Okay. Train, opening remarks, whatever you like.
Man, really, I'm more excited this year for this opening show than I was last year. I'm just excited about football, period. There was a lot of moves made in all season. A lot of different, I mean, do y'all know that Michael Turner is still a free agency?
That
still
who?
Free agent? Michael Turner. Running back from?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
stuff
Rams
like that. Still,
Jackson.
Right. Yeah. I'm still amazed by that, things like that. But a lot of moves made. Just excited about the season because so many players switch teams. You know, it looks like it's going to be, some divisions are going to get tougher than they were, and some may get weaker. But, man, other than that, man, I'm happy to be back on this show. I got something to look forward to every Tuesday. I was missing you guys. Seriously, man. I mean, virtual group hug, dude. Bring it in, man. Bring it in.
Well, it really is. I think I just threw up in my mouth. I'm going to actually I'm actually going to go in a different direction. I'm going to say the kumbaya. That goes without say. But I'm going in another direction, my opening remarks. And Dr. Train and I had a conversation last week, so he's heard a little bit of this. But my opening remarks are very simply this. He's a man who's half Puerto Rican. He's shot. Killed African-American man. Everybody knows he did it. Everybody knows he's guilty. Everybody knows that he should be convicted of this crime. The man I'm speaking of was acquitted. You might have been thinking of somebody else, but I'm speaking of George Zimmerman. He's acquitted. Why do I bring this up? What does that have to do with sports? Nothing. But there's a man sitting in jail right now. He's half Puerto Rican, allegedly shot an African-American man. And everybody's got him in jail, and just a matter of whether, you know, does he, you know, how many years and death sentence and no death sentence. Everybody got him convicted. And, hey, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't. It doesn't look good. But really, really, everybody knows something, right? Everybody knows something. I'm going to tell you, we're going to get into this a little bit, and it's a little personal for me because I'm from Bristol, Connecticut, and I know a lot of people caught up into this mess, and it's a little personal for me, so I'm going to apologize when we talk about it because I am coming at it. I am not coming at it from a biased standpoint. It'd be like I'm talking about my Cowboys. I ain't biased when I talk about my Cowboys, but I'm going to be real with you guys, and we're going to get into that. in a little while. We were going to open up with that, but that's kind of a downer. We're not going to open up with that. We're going to go in another direction first. I want to put a bow on last season. We didn't do this when we started last year because we each have teams that did not make the playoffs. And I want to put a bow and just finalize last season with just the last reflections of last season. I'm going to start this one. My last reflection and thought. Because, you know, 6 months is a long time to sit and think about what should have, could have, would have, right? It's a long time to reminisce and think about, the one missed tackle that could have blew the game, or the one call that you sit there and you say, what was he thinking? Or, you know, in the case of the Cowboys and Tony Romo throwing that interception to the Redskins that pretty much sealed the game, and the game that was for the division title. My final thoughts on this are very simply this. I don't want to hear any talk about postseason from any Cowboys or Cowboy fans. I don't want to hear about it. I also don't want to hear about 5 Super Bowls and 8 appearances. I don't want to hear it. All I want to hear about is the next game. That's it. Because last season, as my good friend Dr. Train says, I was sold a dream. 2 years in a row, this football team was 1 win away from winning a division. Going into the last game 2 years in a row and realizing if you just win this game, Al Davis, right, just win, baby, you go into the playoffs. You win in the division. All right, so 2 years ago it didn't happen. Fine. You come back a year later with the same opportunity and you choke again? Okay, I don't want to hear it. I don't. I just want to focus on the next game. That's it. That's all I want. Right now, I'm looking forward to Sunday's game against Miami. It means nothing, but I'm still looking forward to it. So that's how I end off last year going into this year. I'm not going to talk about the greatness of the Cowboy teams from the past. I'm not going to talk about Super Bowl championships. I'm not talking about Jimmy Johnson or Bill Parcells or Tom Lee. I'm not talking about nothing. I'm on right now. I'm living for the moment. The past is irrelevant and the future hasn't happened. I'm on today. I'm in show me mode. Dallas Cowboys, show me. I got your back. But you got to show me something. Dr. Train, any last reflections from last season?
Well, T, I almost feel about as much as you I feel the same way you feel about my Bears as you do about your Cowboys, simply because it really sucks to start the season off 7-1 and not win 4 games out of your remaining 8 to lock in a playoff spot. It sucks. And of course, Lovie Smith had to bite the bullet for it, but I understand the need for change. So expectations are pretty high, even for Mark Trestman coming in. But, yeah, it sucked to see the last season go down the way it did. So now I'm still... Still, I'm going into another season with, like, not knowing what to expect from our offense. Defense, you can always count on. And still, now that they're not under Lovie Smith, you don't know what to expect. But, yeah. Last season was sad. I don't want to talk about last season anymore.
It's done. It goes away. The other co-host. Oh, no. I'm sorry. The co-host, because he was on first.
Bro.
The co-host.
Right. Yeah.
He gets the final word on last season.
Oh, man, last season was like the getting blue balls. I felt like I went into a strip club with pockets full of ones. And I thought I had a lot of them, like at least 50 of them, just $1 bill. And I went in there.
Lordy.
To find out I only had $10. Wow. I only had $10. It fell in my pocket. I don't know what happened. And when I think of last season, I just see how we had 4 game-winning field goals we missed, and in turn cost us to lose 4 games. I see a team in which was enormously talented, but finished 8-8. I saw a team that again, you know, they went into New York and they beat them, and it was a big win, and we were 7-3. We were off to play the Chiefs, and we beat them. But then Ben Roethlisberger missed 4 games, and Troy Polamalu, you know, he was a great hope. When he came back after his initial injury against the Broncos, he got hurt again. It was out for the rest of the season. Like, last year was just false hope. It was terrible. It was sad. And the fact of the matter is, I'm ready to move on. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers are. The draft that they had is very strong, and I'm much more inclined to talk about that than what happened last season, because last season I feel cheated. I feel like I was cut short of a really good time, and it's upsetting. You know, we have high expectations, and it falls short. So, I mean, all three of our teams kind of had similar seasons in which, again, we thought it was going to be something that ended up being turning it on us at the last second, and they're very sad, and we all had depressing seasons, and I think all of us are ready. Just close that chapter, close the book.
Well, there goes our FCC rating. The views of K-Star are not the views of the Madman. No. all right. Last season's done and over with, and we will move on from last season.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it. I can dig it. So let's talk now. You know, I really decide. I sat here and I said, how do we talk about the off-season moves? There were plenty of them, and I don't really think you turn into the Madden voice. By the way, 347-838-9525. Chat room is open. Twitter, Facebook, however you want to reach us. Smoke signals, I don't care. Just go ahead and reach out to us. But we don't need to regurgitate all the moves that were made. You can go on ESPN.com. You can go, you know, do a Google search, Bleacher Report, whatever, and you can list all the moves that were made. And if you're any type of football fan, at least you know your team, what your team did, trades and releases and all of that, and of course, the big name signings and contracts and stuff. So I don't think we need to go ahead and do that. But what I did want to ask the guys is, you know, maybe two categories. You know, name one or two good moves that you saw. Could be your team. It could be another team. It really doesn't matter. A couple of bad moves you saw. Then we're going to get into some of the ugly things that went on in the offseason. But I'm going to go good moves, and I'm going to start it off with. I'm going to name two that I really like, and both affect the New England Patriots, okay? And of course, with the Patriots, you know, when Hernandez being released and Gronkowski coming off of two surgeries, there's a lot of questions, which I don't understand why there's a lot of questions. People act like before Gronk and Hernandez that Tom Brady was a scrub. You know, Tom Brady, to me, almost better than maybe any quarterback in history, has reinvented himself. Maybe the only guy that I could say that I saw better do that better was Joe Montana. Other than Joe Montana, Tom Brady always comes up with a way to distribute the football, whether he's throwing it into the backs, tight ends, wide receivers, whatever. He figures out a way to get it done, okay? But the move I really liked that I think is a win-win is Welker going to Denver and Amendola coming to the Pats. Now, we already know Welker's good for 100-plus catches a year, but does everybody understand that Wes Welker never won a Super Bowl with the Patriots? So at the end of the day, what did that accomplish? When you're a New England Patriot and you're Bill Belichick and you're Robert Kraft and you're Tom Brady, Super Bowl is Super Bowl a bust, okay? And so, you know, all those catches and all those yards and those touchdowns are great, but they didn't win, period. Is it his fault? I'm not saying it's his fault, but it didn't happen. It didn't get done. So you put him to Denver with arguably another guy who's, you know, when you talk about best of all time, he's in this conversation, Peyton Manning. And if you watch Peyton Manning in years in Indianapolis, he always had a little speedy slot receiver to go to. So he's going to be very comfortable with that. Welker's going to be very comfortable with that. I think it's a great move for both of them. And Danny Amendola. Now listen, guys, I know Danny Amendola has been a little bit injury prone. I know him probably better than a lot of y'all because he started with the Dallas Cowboys. And we let him go because he was injury prone, but not because he wasn't talented, not because the guy couldn't play some football. And, you know, what I did see at St. Louis when he was healthy was pretty doggone good. So if he can stay healthy, which is the question, I think, and particularly now that the Pats are going to you know, what are they going to do? The two tight end offense right now just may not be effective without those two superstars, or with one gone and one coming off injury. We don't know what he's, you know, going to face. But let's face it, when you have those two guys and you're covering, you know, okay, we're going to take Gronk away, Aaron got off. And when you covered, you know, okay, Aaron had a great game, let's cover him, Gronk got off. Well, now we don't know because Aaron's gone, Gronk's hurt. So what does that mean? Well, Welker averaged 112, 15 catches a year. If Amendola can come in and do 90, I think it's going to open up so many things for that offense. And we're talking Tom Brady. I mean, really. So for me, you know, a lot of people criticize the move and how do you let Welker go and he's such a huge part. But I say one thing and one thing only. They never won a Super Bowl with him. Simple as that, plain and simple. So it's time. It's time to do something else now. Brady's not getting any younger. 35, going to be 36 years old. He's not getting any younger. And so his window is closing. And Amendola's still fairly young. And if he stays healthy, I think it's going to – and Amendola's got a touch of speed on Welker, in case y'all didn't know. He's a little bit faster. So look out. That could be – I won't say sleeper because everybody knows this, but that could be the missing link for the Patriots. So that's a couple – I have a couple of others, but I'm going to start with those two to get the conversations going. Let's go to Dr. Train on this one. Do you have a off-season move that you really, really liked?
Man, I'm not going to homer this off-season move, even though I could, because I think it's huge for us. But I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball, and
Shocker.
I'm gonna go with the trade to get Darrell Revis for Tampa Bay, and the reason why I chose that is because the fact that they did it to match up against the powerhouses in their division. I mean, they're going up against Atlanta and New Orleans twice. I mean, Julio Jones, Steve Smith, Marquise Colston. What's the tight end there in New Orleans? Yeah, Jimmy Graham, Steve Smith. And they went and got arguably the best corner in the league. Who cares if he was injured last season? I believe that guy will return 100% and still have his game. So I like that move for Tampa Bay. I think it's a very, very good magic move for them.
Good move. I agree with that one. K-Star, you got one?
Yeah, absolutely. This one I don't think has really been discussed as much as it should or talked about, and that's Reggie Bush to the Lions. The reason why I bring this up is, you know, people say, oh, Reggie Bush, he's injured, or oh, he's overrated. He actually had a really good season last year in Miami. A lot of his touches were limited because he actually got into it with the coaching staff, or the coaching staff didn't really like, I guess, his personality or whatever. But when you look at his production, it was undeniable. And as far as the X's and O's go, I mean, look at it. They didn't have a running back last year. They didn't have a running back the previous year. When they had Jahmyr Best for a few games, they were pretty productive. They went to the playoffs that season. Now, we had in a Reggie Bush, a guy who was a matchup nightmare out the backfield, receiving threat, and they like to throw the ball a lot. A guy who can run between the tackles, a guy who, again, can make you miss open field. When you're doubling Calvin Johnson, he's going to be one-on-one with a linebacker out the backfield every time. And to me, that offense was pretty good. I know it didn't result in a lot of wins last year, but they definitely put up yards and touchdowns regardless. And when you add in a factor back, and I still think he is, especially in that type of offense where, again, number one player is Calvin Johnson. He's going to get all the attention. Reggie Bush is going to shine. Barring injury, that man is going to shine. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Lions do this year and how he plays, because I think he's going to play a big part. And, again, I think it's a very, very underrated move. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he plays.
I got to tell you, I forgot all about that. And actually both the moves you guys picked up, I think are really strong moves. I just 10 seconds. Revis was hurt, but Revis is the best cornerback in the NFL, period. That's hands down. There is not a close second in my opinion. Period. There's a lot of guys. There's Revis and everybody else. Okay. and Reggie Bush, very underrated, man. Reggie Bush is he can catch, he can run, he can block. I mean, he can return. You know, he is an all-around great athlete, great player. And, you know, to go into that team, that Detroit team, who has shown flashes of greatness at times and has had some real difficulty with a consistent running game from year to year. You look back over the last several years and can't seem to be consistent with who's their go-to back. I think it's a great move for them, too. So, yeah, I got to agree. Those are some great moves. Let me just throw a couple more out there just for conversation's sake, and you guys can comment on them or not. But I think Steven Jackson going to the Rams going to the Falcons is long overdue for Steven Jackson. He is just really modern-day makes me think of Barry Sanders. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. Steven Jackson is not a Barry Sanders, but Steven Jackson is a great back, okay? And he's been on really crappy teams, really crappy teams in St. Louis. Now, he's had some injuries too, but when that guy is healthy, when Steven Jackson is as healthy, he's as good as any back in the NFL except maybe Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson is just a freaking phenom. But outside of Adrian Peterson, when Steven Jackson is healthy, he's as good as any back in the NFL, in my opinion. And I think it's just been kind of like Barry Sanders in Detroit. You know, great back on not-so-good teams. And, you know, you see the talent. And, you know, where does it get you? So I think going to the Falcons and clearly – you know, we're wondering what's going to happen with Michael Turner because I think Turner still got some gas in the tank, but they saw him as a better Michael Turner. And, you know, I can't argue that point. I really can't. I think it's a great move for him and for the Rams. And the other one is and K-Star probably ain't going to like this one, but, you know, those damn Ravens, man, they went and got Elvis Dumervil. Man. I mean, that's a defensive-oriented team that just lost their leader, Hall of Famer, arguably one of the best, you know, when you talk about all-time linebackers, you know, he's in that conversation, you know, along with LT and Urlacher. And, you know, I had to throw Urlacher in there for your train because I believe he's one of the best all-time, too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Ray Lewis retires, a champion, and they go get Dumervil from the Rams to come in, bring some leadership, man. He wasn't with the Rams. Where was Dumervil?
It's a good move.
He was with the Denver.
Yeah, he was with Denver. And the only reason why he was given up and went to the Ravens because his stupid agent failed to file his proper or his paperwork in time. And now, of course, the Ravens had Elvis Dumervil in their last.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But I will say this. I will say that while it was a great move, they're going to need him to pay off in Baltimore because that offense is going to have a tough time scoring this year. And I really challenge anyone to argue with me on that, considering, you know, who they've lost in the offseason, Anquan Boldin, Joe Flacco's first target, and then who they just lost to injury for the season, and Dennis Pitta. So that's fine. They can have him. But, again,
you
he's not
they
to play
got,
lifestyle.
You know,
don't
they,
say
you
it so hatefully.
You know they still have Jacoby Jones. They still have Ray Rice. They got Vasante Shenko, who's not a bad – he's not a bad tight end. I mean
– he's not a good one. And Jacoby Jones, again, Jacoby Jones has never been an outside receiver, starting receiver in this league, and it hasn't been good. He's been effective as a slot guy. He still has a lot to prove. We shall see.
I will say this. Whoever has Ray Rice in fantasy football, by all means –
oh, yeah. Especially
this dude
PPR.
Will get
oh,
a
yeah.
ton of touches
oh, yeah.
every single week because that's about the best offensive weapon they got right now and almost
yeah,
the only.
But to me, the logic should be reversed because if you're thinking, and I don't think that that's going to be – I think Ray Rice is going to carry a heavy load, but I don't think it's as bad as – remember, we are talking K-Star, Steeler fan. I mean, he's going to paint the biggest – picture of doom that he can paint for anybody in that division. But that said, my logic would be the direct opposite. If Ray Rice is all they have, teams are going to put eight in the box, and then what's going to happen? You know, it's going to be a very disappointing year for Ray Rice. So be careful with jumping on Ray Rice because you think he's going to get 400 touches this year and, you know, 20 touchdowns.
No, but Ray Rice is both – No, not necessarily 400 touches. Ray Rice is just dual. He's just one of the better dual backs in the league as far as
touches. I didn't
pass catching and running.
I said touches. I didn't say carries.
Yeah,
I
know. He's going to see a lot of touches because he's part of that offense. I mean, that offense has to go through him. That offense has to give him his touches for it to work.
Well, Ray Rice.
That's the reason why they changed offensive coordinators last season.
As much as I'm a Ravens hater, Ray Rice will be effective. He's a very, very good running back. I'm not that, you know, over my head with the hate to the Ravens. Ignore that. He's a great running back. He'll do his thing regardless.
Guys, first of all, not understand what I'm saying. Second of all, I mean, in other world situations where you guys tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, then by week four, I'm going to come back. I'm going to say, what did I say? I'm not saying Ray Rice won't be effective. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is, if you're saying that by losing the tight end, by losing Anquan Boldin, that the Ravens now have no weapons. And so now go get Ray Rice because he's going to get all these touches and run up all these yards and get all these fantasy points. I'm saying, oh, hell no. It's not going to happen. You find, other than an Adrian Peterson, it is the exception that you can take a back and give him that many touches without any other weapons, and he runs all over you. And Ray Rice, it's not going to happen. The reason that Ray Rice is able to be effective is because there are other weapons. And he is a great dual back. We've seen it. You know, the 29-yard, you know, catch out of the backfield on fourth down. We see it. He's great. And I tend to think that they have a little more. I think Jacoby Jones is going to. He's been maturing. Watch out. And I think Shanko. He's a pretty good. He's not great. I think he's a pretty good tight end. I think, and Flacco, they just paid him $55 million guaranteed. Go earn your money, bruh. Go earn your money. Now, you got a Super Bowl ring. Absolutely. So I'm just saying, if you don't think they have any other weapons, then to go and get Ray Rice, I mean, first few weeks, he might be okay. But remember, NFL adjusts here. They adjust. And when they see that Ray Rice is getting all these touches, man, they're going to be shutting him down. You mean to tell me you don't think your Pittsburgh Steelers aren't going to shut him down?
I mean, not everyone has a Pittsburgh Steelers defense, of course. I mean, let's be honest. Number one in the league left there. But, no, but in all seriousness,
you still can't stack the box on them because they have the other guy at receiver.
Yeah, they got Torrey Smith.
Who has blazing
Ray
Rice.
There you go,
yeah.
Torrey Smith.
Yeah, they have Torrey, they have him. So you still can't up and just stack a box. I mean, and they have two, with Jacoby gone, they have two receivers with blazing speed.
That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to have more, they're going to be more effective than you're giving them credit for. And I think the defense, you know, are they going to miss Ray Lewis's leadership? Probably. Ed Reed production, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, the guy was 37 years old. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Bad moves. Bad off-season moves. Moves that had you straight scratch. And you know, for the audience that's listening, we understand there's, you know, certain times that things happening in NFL, you know, just as K-Star explained about Doomerville, you know, technicality, and that's why Denver lost them, okay? I'm looking at just the move itself. I'm not going to get into the fact that maybe, you know, the guy, they didn't match the off, whatever the technical details are. I don't care about that. Let ESPN give you all that technical stuff. We just want to look at football moves. We're fans. I'm looking at football moves, okay? I'm going to start with one that's been talked about a lot. It may not even be on the radar of some people, but it's been talked about a lot. I don't get it, but Greg Jennings going to Minnesota. I know he was hurt last year. I know he didn't have a great year, but Greg Jennings has been one of the most consistent wide receivers that Aaron Rodgers has had on that team. Maybe, you know, Donald Driver's consistent, don't get me wrong, but Greg Jennings is your home run hitter, not Donald Driver. Donald Driver is Mr. Dependable. Greg Jennings is your home run hitter. And you let him go to your division rival? I don't get that. In his prime? I mean, he's not 35 years old. He's got fuel in his tank. I don't get it.
I mean, I could see that one. I could see why they let him go. From what I understand, from what I've even read, that he was offered a contract worth of almost $10 million a year from Green Bay and didn't take it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the move. Like I said, I'm not getting into I'm saying in today's NFL, if you really want to keep him, you figure out a way. If you really want to keep him, you figure out a way. And with some of the interviews he's been doing lately, I don't get the sense. Maybe they offered him a reasonable contract. I don't get the sense that he got the sense that they really wanted him. Just with some of the interviews I've seen on ESPN and some of the comments he's made, throwing Aaron Rodgers kind of bus, and Aaron Rodgers didn't really take fault for when he made a mistake and that kind of. Seems like there's just some bad blood there. You know, I don't think this was money. I think there's just some bad blood there.
Well, when I look at the mechanics of the team when they had Greg Jennings, what's the other guy, the number two guy? Man, I'm getting brain farts today. I can't remember players. Huh?
Cordy Nelson?
Yes. Nelson seemed to have a better game when Greg Jennings was playing versus when he was out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he's out, now he's the number one. And then you have Cobb and James Jones step up. But I don't. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's as big as impact as was.
Yeah.
But the offense still was productive, and that's probably what Green Bay's looking at.
Okay.
I definitely have one. And this strikes home to me as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And that's Mike Wallace going to the Miami Dolphins.
That was my other one. But I saved it because I said, I'm going to see if K-Stark jumps on that. But that was my other one.
You know what?
Congratulations.
It's crazy because, like, I was a really big Mike Wallace fan in Pittsburgh. He was such a dynamite player. But, first of all, the contract was ridiculous. The 5-year, $60 million play. He's not a top three receiver in the NFL. That's
stupid.
Ridiculous.
He does not deserve that money. But
not at all. Not when the man can only run, watching him, trust me, streaks, posts. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, you definitely take a slant to the house, but that's not really his forte. But, again, I don't see him producing well. And early reports in Miami are that he's struggling in camp. Like Sean Smith, the cornerback in Miami, apparently is, like, winning – consistently over him. And Sean Smith, I mean, how well known is Sean Smith? Is he a really good quarterback in the NFL? I don't believe he is. So I think Mike Wallace, again, a guy who, quite honestly, probably got about 200 of his yards last season and probably two touchdowns, maybe even three, off Big Ben scrambles, you know, broken plays where he just happens to be wide open. He was definitely a beneficiary of it. Again, you can't deny his elite talent. For that contract and for him to play with such a young quarterback and not an established guy like Ben, who, again, made Mike Wallace also get that contract by some of the plays he was able to create with his feet, Big Ben, of course. That's a rough one.
I don't understand. The coach down there is Mike Philbin, who came from Green Bay, who know how Greg Jennings played. I don't understand. Greg Jennings is older, but dude, Greg Jennings is a much better wide receiver, polished wide receiver, than Mike Wallace is. Why wouldn't you go try to get
Greg Jennings? I understand the fascination and, you know, the whole age. I mean, Mike Wallace rose with a young, I believe he's 26, Jennings, what, 31, an injury concern there. I mean, I get that, but again, you're right. You could have gotten Greg Jennings in a much cheaper deal, a more veteran, polished receiver than taking a chance on a $60 million deal with Mike Wallace. So, again, I'm a big fan of, but...
Well, I was just going to say, you know, and the other thing that people have to realize is you're talking about Jennings playing for, you know, a top five quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, right? And now he's going to go play for Christian Ponder. Good luck with that.
Ooh,
you're talking about Mike Wallace playing with, I mean, you know, he's a very good quarterback. Top five, maybe not. Depends on whose board you're looking at. It depends on the year, but Ben is certainly, he's a two-time Super Bowl winner, and we're not going to take anything away from Ben Roethlisberger. And now you're going to leave and go play for Miami. And you guys got to remind me, who's Miami's quarterback now? I don't even know.
Ryan,
who's
Tannehill,
there for?
Young boy.
Tannehill.
Yeah, Tannehill, okay. Maybe in a couple years he might be something, but he's not Ben. So, I mean, these receivers leaving these all-pro, you know, one quarterback has two Super Bowls, the other quarterback has one. And, you know, I think they're taking for granted, that, you know, everybody plays at that level. And you're going to understand. You're going to see why Ben has two Super Bowls when you go play for Miami. You're going to see why Aaron Rodgers has a Super Bowl and, you know, considered arguably the best quarterback in the league today. I mean, I don't think that, but that's what some people think. And you're going to go play for Christian Ponder. You know, it's going to be some frustration, you know. So I don't get it, but, I mean, that's football for you. You know, that's football. Let's go to the phones. I mean, we have a caller here wants to get on the line. 562 area code. That's 562 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How
great.
You doing?
Hey, this is McKenzie's cousin. I just had one question, and I'll get off air and just listen. I just wanted to know, what do you guys think about the Raiders this year? I know they got Charles Woodson back to help solidify the defense. I just want to know what you guys think about the Oakland Raiders this year.
Let me get this one real quick. I have a question for you. Who's going to be their quarterback?
I'm not sure. I haven't kept up with everything, so that's why I was seeing if you guys.
Okay. The reason why I asked that is because Terrell Pryor and Matt Flynn are in a competition right now, quarterback competition for it. And typically, when there's a team who has a quarterback controversy or open competition like that, generally they don't do too well. However, I will say the optimism, there should be some in Oakland simply because they played a weak division minus Denver, of course. And apparently they're returning back to their power run scheme in which Darren McFadden was a stud, of course, when he was healthy. They did away with that Greg Knapp zone blocking run scheme, and they're definitely focusing and featuring Darren McFadden the way they should, the type of scheme that benefits him. So they have that. Maybe Terrell Pryor develops. Maybe Matt Flynn is a decent player. We really don't know, but again, I always am kind of weary about teams that have that open quarterback competition because that, to me, right away, just says the team doesn't know who the quarterback is, and you can't really go in the season too confident as a football team if you don't know who your field general is.
Okay, K-Star, let me remind you, this is the Madden Voice. This isn't Sports Center. Really? Really? This is the Raiders he's asking you about. The Raiders. Okay, you're getting excited about Terrell Pryor? You're getting excited about Terrell Pryor versus
Dude,
Matt
play
Flynn?
Madden. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
this
yeah.
isn't Madden.
Play Madden.
This is not. Right. This is NFL. This isn't Madden. This is NFL. Sorry. Okay. This is Matt okay. Jones and Madden was a phenom and did nothing in the NFL. This is the NFL. Really? Darren McFadden is an incredible running back. He gets hurt every year. Hurt every year. Okay. Charles Woodson, he's getting old. Great, but not anymore. He's getting old.
Well,
as long as Al Davis's family owns that team, the Raiders will be nothing. They need a new ownership. They need to totally revamp that team and start over. And there's no reason to be excited in Oakland. None. And let me remind you, you said weak division Denver. Have you seen what Kansas City did this offseason? Have you seen what those
yes.
Chiefs did this offseason? Oh, the Raiders are going to be sitting at the
moves.
Bottom.
They got put in football. I've seen a lot of teams make some offseason moves before.
What's that?
I've seen a lot of teams make some offseason moves before that haven't sort of materialized, so you have to watch and see how they actually
work.
And secondly, I didn't get excited on the Oakland Raiders. Actually did say teams that have open quarterback competition don't do so well anyway. For the record, I will reiterate that again.
Okay, but you need to make up your mind because you sounded like you were saying optimistic.
No, I said what I said was the optimism that Raider fans should have is that Darren McFadden will be a great running back as long as he stays healthy within that scheme. But I did say that when you have a team that has an open quarterback competition, that's not really a good sign for the team. I really haven't seen too many teams succeed where they don't know who the quarterback is heading into the regular season.
All right, hey Train, was it me? Did he sound optimistic about the Raiders? That's what I heard.
Okay, let me step in on this, cousin T. For one, we need to try to go to the Raiders game on the 23rd, so because that's Chicago versus Oakland. Second, there is not a whole lot of optimism for Oakland this season. There's a lot of pressure on that new coach that was hired last season. He came over from Denver as their defense coordinator. So you may see some optimism about their defense. You may see their defense improve. And, yes, Charles Woodson is it's going to be a big help. He's a veteran. He has a lot of experience. He can help get players lined up before the snap, replays, all of that. But offensively, you still have McFadden, who's injury prone. They don't know what's going to happen at quarterback, and you can't be excited about either Matt Flynn or Terrell Pryor, because Matt Flynn was supposed to be the starter in Seattle, and turn around, it ends up being a rookie drafted third round by the name of Russell Wilson. So from my perspective, just from a football perspective, there's not a whole lot of, to me, optimism. And I wouldn't necessarily call it division week one. Yes, it does have Denver. Two, Kansas City made some great moves, and they have Andy Reid as their head coach. Andy Reid knows how to coach. And three, the Chargers, they're under a new head coach. So it's only telling how much better they get this season.
Jesus.
And the Chargers really do have a quarterback. So I still see the Raiders being at the bottom of that division unless they show something surprising that we haven't seen. I don't know who their offensive coordinator is, but that's going to be a lot of pressure on him to try to get that offense to going. But McFadden has to stay healthy for the Raiders to do anything this season.
Contract year for McFadden, too. You're right. He definitely needs to stay healthy, especially if he wants to get paid.
Bottom. Bottom of the division.
Sorry. From the bottom, now they're there still.
Sorry, cousin. Sorry, cousin T. I like your name, but bottom of the division. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
No problem.
All
call
right,
us anytime.
Thank you, man.
Take care, cousin T. All right.
Blow it out your ass.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. So the other stuff. What? Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something, Trey?
Well, I was going to give us one last bad off-season move.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't want to shed too much light on my philosophy, but I will home this and say Chicago not coming up with a deal 1 to 2 years to keep Urlacher, to me.
Don't do that. Wait. Don't. I know you're going to go there on your philosophy, man. Don't give nobody. You got to stop giving.
I ain't going to give too much. I'm just putting it. It was a bad move for me, just from team wise.
Okay.
I mean, the guys still had a lot. He had games. And
that was all the people. All the people in Chicago was just responding. To that. I couldn't stop it. They were. I'm sorry. It was Chicago. I'm sorry. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, it was. All right. All right. We're gonna change gears. We're gonna change gears for a minute. Talk a little bit about the off season. One off season thing in particular. We're gonna talk about for a few minutes. And everybody knows about it. It's top news. It's gonna be big news for a while. Aaron Hernandez. Arrested, charged with, at this point in time, the murder of Odin Lloyd, a semi-pro football player. And subsequently, Aaron was, after being arrested, within 2 hours of being arrested, he was released by the Patriots. I had planned to have Aaron's cousin on tonight's show, and we just didn't connect up to finalize it. I will make every effort to see if I can get him on for next Tuesday's show. And I'll ask him if he wants to take questions. It'll be up to him. He may just want to kind of say his piece and then go on his merry way. But he's a guy I know, and I'm going to see if he wants to come on and just, you know, say whatever it is he'd like to say about his cousin Aaron Hernandez. So I'll keep you guys posted in the ads, and we'll see if we can get him on for next Tuesday. But, you know, I did a whole show on this, so I don't want to sit here and repeat myself. There has not been a lot of addition. There's been some, but not a lot of additional news. The biggest news now is they are going through Pine Lake, which is probably maybe five minutes at most from my house. I know it very, very well, and they are combing it, looking for the murder weapon. And clearly, if they are able to find this murder weapon, allegedly, and just the fact that it would be in Bristol, Aaron's hometown, would be damning as it is, enough. But clearly, if there's any type of fingerprints or ballistic matches or anything like that, I mean, it could be that could be it. But let me just make a couple of quick comments, and then Train didn't really get to speak on this at all, and K-Star did call in and make a few comments about it when I did the show. So, but I'll let Train speak on it because he hasn't been heard. But let me just say this. I opened by talking about George Zimmerman, and we all have our opinions, and he was acquitted, and the prosecution won the case, and so George Zimmerman is a free man. My point in making that connection is very simply this: we don't know. And it irritates me that that people are condemning someone that has not gone through the legal system. It irritates me. I don't agree with the Zimmerman verdict based on everything I heard and what I know of the case. And even now, there are jurors coming out saying that they think he did it, but that the defense just didn't meet their burden of proof. So be it. But I respect it because that's our legal system. Well, Zimmerman had his day in court, and we've seen what's gone on since then for the last couple of weeks. Mr. Aaron Hernandez has not had his day in court. And let me remind you that he sits in jail innocent at this point in time, innocent. And I just ask everyone to keep that in mind when you're talking about it to your family and friends, when you're making posts on Facebook or on Twitter, you know, and you're saying things. Just take a minute and realize that he hasn't been convicted of anything yet, and that there are real-life families and people that are affected by what goes on here. And while it's, you know, you can sit and make light of it all you want, but this is real. And for us here in Bristol, and for many people in Bristol that are connected to this, it doesn't get any realer than this. So I just ask people to keep that in mind as they have their opinions, because everybody's got an opinion, right? And everybody thinks they know something. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and told me that he's connected to what's going on, and he knows for a fact that Aaron did it. And I said, you're lying. Stop lying. You know, you're talking to the wrong person to say that. You're not that connected to it. I know people that are much more connected to you, and they don't know. So shut up. Shut your mouth. Go have a beer and leave me alone. You know, I just don't like it.
Wow.
You know, I don't like it. But anyway, I know K-Star we lost for a minute, but he's back. But Train, you haven't had a chance to be heard on any of the Aaron Hernandez stuff. And, you know, you have a right to your thoughts and your opinion, regardless of the fact that how I may feel. And we don't censor anyone here on the Madden Voice at all. So it's a big case. It's an NFL player, and you know. Let me ask you one question before you give any thoughts. I want to ask you a question. When I did the show, I still to this day don't agree that with the Patriots' decision to release Aaron before finding out what the charges were. I thought that mm-hmm. was just in poor taste. And they defended that by saying that anybody connected with this type of murder, they have the right to release, and that was their explanation. I mm-hmm. felt that they could have at least waited till the charges were filed, and that was done maybe 2 hours after he was released. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't feel that that was appropriate. I felt they could have at least did that. Any thoughts on that specifically?
I honestly have to say I don't disagree with what the Patriots did. And if I was running the organization, and we come to that consensus, I would totally agree with letting them go. I understand your position as far as innocent until proven guilty, and I don't disagree with that either. I mean, he is innocent until proven guilty, until he has his day in court where they say he's guilty of it, that the guy is innocent. But when you're talking about someone representing your organization, I think, you know, it was just in the Patriots' best interest to draw the line somewhere, as far as that's concerned. I honestly don't have a whole lot of thoughts as far as Aaron Hernandez. I really think it's a sad situation because someone lost their life in the process. No different than the whole Trayvon Martin incident. I mean, someone's gone from this earth probably sooner than they were supposed to be. And I mean, it's a sad situation from that perspective. And we just have to wait and see if, you know, the evidence truly point to him actually committing the crime.
Let me, before I bring Case on, let me just ask you this. Had the Patriots waited till Aaron was charged and then issued a statement saying that he was being released from his contract, would that have made them look worse than they looked? Would that have changed any perception in your mind?
No. Honestly, I don't think that was a good or bad point of when to release him. I think when you talked about someone representing you, or talk about the face of your organization. I mean, it's a standard that you want to be held with your organization. So I don't think that was a bad point of when to release him.
But do you think they should have at least waited to hear what he was charged with? You're saying that you're protecting your organization, but at that point in time, none of us knew. The common talk had been obstruction of justice. That had been what was rumored because he destroyed evidence and that he would get charged with obstruction of justice. No one knew. Now, say maybe Bob Kraft was tipped off, whatever. That's speculation. What we know is that publicly, nobody knew why Aaron got arrested. Theoretically, I mean, we know it was connected to the case, but theoretically, it could have been unpaid parking tickets, right? We don't know. That's my point. And yet,
so you're saying they released him before they knew he was connected to the murder?
They released him before they knew for a fact that the arrest was connected to the murder. Yes, because none of us knew until he walked into court a few hours later in handcuffs, in the same T-shirt and shorts that he was taken out of his house in. And then they said, and many sports writers and reporters were shocked that he was being charged with first-degree murder because nobody knew. And I hear people defending Bob Kraft saying, well, when you're the owner of the Patriots and you have all this clout, I'm sure he got a tip. We don't know that, though. That's a rumor. That's theory. What we do know is that the first public release of why Aaron was arrested came at 2 o'clock-ish that afternoon. The Patriots released him at 11. So it was 3 hours later when we heard, okay, you are arrested and being charged with first-degree murder and a gun possession charge or something else as well. That's when we found out. What I'm saying is, now, for where I'm sitting, once that becomes public information and you know that, he's done. I have no problem with that business decision at that point. I have no problem with that. I don't care who it is. But up to that point, I think he deserves, you know, his day in court, and that was coming at 2 o'clock. So what would be the harm with sitting back and waiting? And I think their excuse was lame to me. You know, well, anybody connected with – well, you didn't know that. We assumed because of all the coverage on TV that he was being arrested connected to this case, and it was a safe assumption, don't get me wrong, but it was still an assumption. We didn't find out till 2 o'clock that day, and that was my problem. That was my problem. And had it been unpaid parking tickets or something crazy, which obviously it wasn't, so we can make that you know, claim now. But wow, how do you look now? You know, that's my point. Is what is it? You know, it's not like he was being arraigned in a month or in, you know, it was a few hours. So let's just make sure that we're doing the right thing for everybody involved before we pull the trigger and release him. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I didn't know all of that in detail because I really didn't, you know, pay much attention as far as when he was actually publicly admitted versus when they released him. But I mean, it sounds like their move was based on an assumption.
Yes.
Or something they knew before the public knew.
Clearly they did. Versus, because my yeah. And T, you make a great point. But one thing you want to, or one thing I'm noticing is that you're upset with. Well, first of all, you're speculating that the Patriots didn't know. I mean, officially, to public knowledge, they obviously couldn't have known, but clearly they knew. So you're upset with them.
Wait. Let's stick with facts. You cannot.
You don't know what facts. You don't know what Bob Kraft heard. You're speculating that he didn't know that.
The district attorney stated. The district attorney stated that this will be released at 2:00. Okay, so we have absolutely no evidence or no reason to believe. As a matter of fact, Bob Kraft has not once said, "Oh, we knew." What he said was, "Anybody connected to a murder, we need to release." He defended releasing Aaron Hernandez before knowing officially what the charge was. He defended it. That's all I'm saying is. And so let's go with what we know. I'm not going to play in the field of assumptions. They must have known. He must have got tipped off. No! Now you're giving them a reason to do something that many people have said is questionable. And that,
well, they're
and
right to do it regardless.
I'm sorry?
They still have the right to do it regardless. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
They didn't have the right. I didn't say they didn't have the right to do
it. No, I understood. But what I'm saying is I'm just noticing you are also speculating, though, that they didn't officially know. I think it's probable, again, they knew, and that's why they released it.
What do we know? What we know is that he was released around 11:00 from the Patriots. What we know is that publicly the charges were released in the courthouse, which is how you find out, at 2:00. That's what we know. By the letter of the law, Bob Kraft should not be getting any tip-offs on what's coming. If he did, he's probably doing the right thing because he can get somebody in a lot of trouble if that is a fact. So by the letter of the law, Bob Kraft is not a party to this investigation. He's not part of defense counsel. He's not part of the prosecution. He's not part of the courthouse. He's not part of the system of jurisprudence. He's just an owner of the employer. That's all he is. He got no special rights to know anything before the defense or anybody else. He's got no special rights. He may be able to sign a check or know a couple people, but he's got no special rights. So we know he should not know anything. Because in this particular
he shouldn't
situation,
know. But to me, he's taking
Bob Kraft
the statement.
Bob Kraft is nobody in this particular situation. He's nobody. He has no more access to any information than you or I in this particular situation.
It's supposed to, but do you believe that? I mean,
I do actually.
Based on
that
timeline,
The arrogance that the Patriots shown over the years, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Tom Brady's the most arrogant quarterback I've ever seen. You know, I'm not going to get off. That's another. One day we'll get into Tom Brady's arrogance. I'm not going to do that today. But no, I absolutely believe that they made the decision. Phil, totally. You know, and of course, if you make the decision 11 and you find out at 2 that it's murder charges, well, you look good, right? You look like, well, wow, you know, they're right on top of things. You know, I think that if I'm a general manager or a president or an owner of a team, that these people mean something to me. Their contracts and their families mean something to me. And you know what? I'm going to just hang in there a few more hours. That's all I'm saying. I just want to hang in there and let me hear officially. I have my speculation. I have my theory, whatever. But you know what? Let me just make sure. And once at 2:00, yep, he gets charged at 2:05, then release him. I got no problem with that.
Well, let me ask you this, T. Even though, you know, even though you did say that, you know, Bob Kraft shouldn't be privy to any information before it goes public, I mean, do you think that this would have been a situation where that since because Aaron Hernandez is a pro NFL player that they informed the Patriots some kind of information before?
Absolutely not. What for? They have no right to any. This is that's a job. I mean, you know, football is your job, and particularly this is off season. It's your job. It's not your life. It's a job. This is what you do, and you get a paycheck to do it. You know, if I get arrested, I don't expect my employer to get a phone call. You know, I don't expect that to happen. You know, no. As a matter of fact, I don't know. And you know, yes, this is a high profile. Cameras watched it, but you know, let's take out the fact that this is a Super Bowl appearing, Pro Bowl appearing, one of the top tight ends in the game, playing for arguably one of the top franchises in the game. Okay, so it's very visible. Okay, so we're watching everything, so we have an advantage because we're seeing everything, you know, transpose right before our eyes. But what if this is Terry Floyd? What if this is me in my house, and they come and arrest me at 10 o'clock? And does my job have a right to just fire me? My job shouldn't even know, right? They shouldn't even know. Why would my job be informed that I was arrested unless I let them know? This is public information. Because we're watching it on TV. Right. So, okay. So
right. The thing is, we all know, we don't know what it should be like, but we live in the, I mean, in reality, we know what it is.
But fair
is
fair.
I mean, it's a high-profile athlete. It's fair.
You have a job, and I just feel strongly that it would not have hurt anything for them to wait a few more hours before they released them. Make it official, and it's cleaner to me. To me, now I question, even though we know what happened afterwards, I still question their motives for doing it before he was charged. I question it. I do. Why? You know?
Okay, but then you can't question their judgment because clearly they were onto something.
And the end does not justify the means, K-Star. The end, if you profile someone and pull them over because they're African-American and then you happen to find marijuana in that car, that doesn't mean that the profiling was correct. It's still wrong to do. Just because you found something doesn't mean that it's okay. So the fact that they released him before they knew, to me, is still wrong. Just because it turned out to be valid doesn't change the fact that, to me, they should have waited. It was not the right thing to do on any level. I don't think as a business person, the judgment of releasing someone without all the information. You're running a business, you know, and you're releasing this guy without all the information when you'll get the information in a few hours. It would have been different if they said you're not going to know anything for a couple of months. Okay, I probably would have said, all right, circumstantially, with everything you know, you don't want to wait till football season starts to be in it. Okay, I probably wouldn't be making a big stink. You're going to know in a few hours. And you're going to make the decision based on, from where I'm sitting, a lot of assumptions. Now, if someone comes out later and says that they were tipped off and it's confirmed that Bob Kraft knew, I retract my statement. If Bob Kraft knew for a fact that Aaron Hernandez was getting charged with first-degree murder and that's why they released him, I'll retract my statement. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that will ever be news. I think that the Patriots showed a bit of arrogance by saying, okay, we need to cut ties. No, we're not going to wait. Just cut ties. I think it would have been cleaner had they waited 3 more hours. That's it. 3 more hours. Let's go to the phones. We have another 317. This is not K-Star, but another 317 who's been waiting to get on the air. Come on. Let's see if we can get this to work. All right. 317, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Thanks. Name's Shane. Just throwing out some food for thought here with the obvious loss of Percy Harvin, probably for the whole season for the Seattle Seahawks. Where does that put them? And, I mean, this is a team that, steamrolled the 49ers at the end of the year. This is a team that probably put up more offensive points in production without Percy Harvin last year than anybody else. What impact does this give their potential Super Bowl contention, and was Percy Harvin more of a want than anything else?
That's a good question. I will say this, that while Seattle certainly under Russell Wilson had a very effective spread option offense, The thing that impressed me the most was their defense. You know, they out out physicaled in many cases a very good San Francisco defense. And I think that they're going to be right. I think what we've seen in the NFL in the last few years is that a good defense literally will beat a good offense. So while Percy Harvin, the loss or potential loss him for the season or most of the season is going to hurt them, I'm not in the age of thinking that one player anymore. You know, there used to be days, you know, I'd say years back, one player, you know, could change a whole game or change a team. I'm really getting away from that. That doesn't happen often. Other than the Adrian Petersons of the world, which really he's about it, or maybe a healthy Darrelle Revis on the defensive side. I just think that there are so many ways to score and so many ways to stop people from scoring. And I think what we've seen Pete Carroll do over there in Seattle is nothing short of incredible. I think they're going to be there. And, you know, are they going to be better than San Francisco? I don't know. I think it's going to be very good watching them two teams go at it this year. But I think it's not going to be the end of Seattle because they don't have Percy Harvin. You guys have any thoughts on that?
I would have to agree with mostly what you said, T. And now you do have to look at the fact that also Sidney Rice, I believe, is going through some kind of surgery, but he will be back. But Percy Harvin was brought in to give Russell with another target. I mean, they did. It's kind of a want slash need. Because you want a more production from your receiving core, but without them, it's clearly going to lean back to exactly how they were running the offense last season. They leaned heavy on Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson did not make a lot of mistakes, so they'll look to play mistake-free football. And like you said, T, their defense Seattle's defense is huge in their success. One, they got one of the toughest and loudest stadiums to play in, so they're very good at home. So when you take all that into account, you pretty much got the same. I mean, you were talking about almost the same Seattle team that you had last season. That's still a scary team. That was a team you did not want to play at the end of the season. So with that and another year of experience for every player, I mean, Seattle is still a tough team even without Percy Harvin. And Pete Carroll, he'll find a way to make it work.
Okay,
yeah,
Star, anything to add?
Yeah, real quick. The Percy Harvin injury, I'm reading about it right now, actually looks like he has a timetable of 3 to 4 months. He does have a chance to return this season, possibly November, guaranteed to be on the physically unable to play list, and possibly short-term IR. So he actually might be able to return late in the season, which would be a huge addition, even still, for Seattle. Now, Seattle's a very effective run-oriented team. They play very good defense. Russell Wilson definitely made strides throughout the middle of the season into the end of it. He played great. However, they still didn't get the ball down the field vertically in the pass game. The thing with Seattle is, again, I expect them to be a very good team. However, with that division getting better, with more people now going to be caught off guard by Russell Wilson and Seahawks this season, Percy Harvin would have absolutely been tremendous for Seattle to have. Do I think that they lose a few games because of it? Not necessarily, but I do think that as far as their Super Bowl aspirations, it's definitely a pretty big setback if they were to legitimately contend for a title.
All right. Any other questions, caller?
That's pretty much all I had. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Maybe that's a cue to move on from the Hernandez topic, but I want to stay at least in the area of it without necessarily. I'm sure we'll be revisiting it over and over again as new developments happen. There's the name escapes me, but another athlete that was charged with either murder or attempted murder, and there's a lot of talk about NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball athletes, and I guess I have two questions. and it's kind of multiple layers, so follow me for a minute. But, you know, when you take a high-profile athlete, is a high-profile athlete held to a higher standard than a lower-profile athlete that you know, might be a rookie, second year, doesn't have the big contract, you know, might be second string, third string, practice squad, what have you. And secondly, what about the standards of paid superstar athletes and just you and I? I mean, we're all people, okay? And because, you know, an athlete makes $10 million a year, should they be held to a different set of rules of conduct by society than someone who's making $40,000 a year? So I don't know. It was a question that I sat and thought about, and I'll start it off because, you know, I don't want you guys sitting and scratch your head like, what's he talking about? First of all, I'm going to take the last part first. I'm going to give one big answer. The whole thing annoys me and pisses me off. Okay, the whole thing is irritating to me. I come from a thing where people are people. Rules are rules. I understand that that may not be reality, but if you break a rule or break, you know, do a crime, the penalty is the penalty. And, you know, when I watch what is going on with different people and watching how the court systems treat them and how the media treats them, and I think about an average person, it just isn't fair. Charles Barkley said it best. I'm not a role model. You know, I play basketball, and it's my job. That's it. You know, and I think we as a society have to stop moving away from glorifying and glamorizing athletes and movie stars and actors and actresses and singers and to the point where Lindsay Lohan gets arrested and, oh, my God, it's news. Who cares? I could care less that she got arrested. It really has no impact on my life. It really does. To be blunt with you, the only reason the Aaron Hernandez thing catches my attention is because it's Bristol, and I know people connected to it. So if Aaron was a paperboy, it would have my attention because it's Bristol, and I know people connected to it. So I just think it's just too much. It's gotten way out of hand. And when someone who's an unknown athlete does something, it either doesn't even get reported or it's, you know, it's 15 seconds on SportsCenter. You know, I was charged with a DUI. I mean, DUIs used to be big news. Now they don't even make the first 45 minutes of SportsCenter anymore. It's almost like they're just excused. You know, but I remember years ago, if an athlete got a DUI, it was like, holy cow, he was drinking? You're a prime athlete. You're not supposed to be drinking and driving? Oh, my God. Now it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he got a DUI. Yeah, he'll be in court, you know. And back on the field. It's not even a big deal. So I just think we've gone too far with it. Should the Aaron Hernandez case get the attention that it's getting? It's a big case. He's a big athlete. I don't like it. Fine. I'll accept it. But should that be the norm? Should we be holding these performers and celebrities to different standards than we hold our neighbors and family and friends to? I don't think we should. I think I would expect anyone to act a certain way, whether you make $10 million a year or 10 cents a year. And I think we put too much on these celebrities and superstars to be perfect. You have to be perfect. You have to look perfect. You have to speak perfect. You have to act perfect. You can't make any mistakes because you're rich. And you're talented, and you're always on TV, and you're always on the internet, and you're always on DVR, and so you cannot make a mistake, you know? And when they make one, it's like, oh, my God, and we forgot that they're human. We forgot that, yeah, you know, sometimes people do things like go out and get drunk. It happens, you know, or get into an argument with the girlfriend at the bar. You know, and the girlfriend throws a drink on the football player, and there it is, front page. I don't know. I'm probably in the minority because a lot of people like to watch those celebrity shows, the Entertainment Tonights and all of those. I don't watch those. I don't care. But, you know, they got plenty of shows and E! Network, and it's all about watching what these big-name people do. And people are entertained by that. Okay, I'm old. I'm old-fashioned. I don't get it. I think your role models are your parents. I think your role models are people that you can walk up to and talk to that do things that impress you and that you can learn from, not someone that you see on TV play a game once a week for, you know, a few hours out of the day and maybe in a couple of commercials, and now you want to be like him. You know, the old Be Like Mike commercials and stuff. No, I don't want to be Michael Jordan. No, I never wanted to be Michael Jordan. What I wanted to be was the best basketball player in the world, not Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? So your role models are people that you can talk to that can touch you and help you become a better person, not someone that's good at a sport or good at acting or got a great voice. I just don't see it that way. That's my opinion. I think it's too much, and I don't like it. And I wish there was something we could do about it. But I'm a realist. It's not going to change. So I yield the floor. K-Star, any thoughts?
No, I pretty much agree. I mean, it's kind of, first of all, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is at this point. You're right. Like, it's not really something that's going to change. However, people really need to pick and choose their role models, you know, more effectively. And you actually need to think about what's important, what a role model is and what a role model should be and who they want to be, not just, you know, lead up to football or anything like that. There's a lot more to it than just football. You know, let's just say, for argument's sake, that, you know, Aaron Hernandez is found guilty. You know, maybe his role model wasn't something that it should have been. Maybe it was someone who was a bad influence, someone who had a shady character, but maybe, you know, he was interested in a certain kind of lifestyle. Who knows? You know, people need to, again, be more concerned about the person and the person's character and who they are and what they represent. And not just by words or by actions. And that's not just, you know, carrying or catching or throwing a football. I mean, it's a lot more to life than just that.
Train, thoughts?
Well, T, I will agree with you on, well, I don't know if it's a grin, but just say one thing. You know, the whole Aaron Hernandez case should not get the publicity because he's an NFL star. It should get the publicity simply because it's a murder case. Like any other murder case that ends up in the public eye, you find out the truth. You find out what happened, who did it. And like I said, it's partly because he is an NFL star, but it should get the publicity simply because someone was murdered. And you're trying to find out the truth, and then the public wants to know. But, you know, as we all know, you know, any kind of superstar, movie star, NFL star, sports star, I mean, they're going to be, I mean, the spotlight is on them in everything, every little thing that they do. It almost annoys you. Even the guys coming out of college, it almost annoys, I mean, the whole Manti Te'o and the mystery girl behind it. I mean, I could have cared less about any of that. I mean, really, who doesn't get caught up online with all the social networking that they is, social network that they is with the Facebook and the Twitter? You don't know who you're talking to. You don't see a face unless you're Skyping, and that might not even be it. So,
right, yeah, right. Hey, you know, I don't know, Train, if you knew this. K-Star may have caught this. This is something to realize. 3 weeks before the murder, I was at a cookout with Aaron and Odin. My first time meeting Aaron, my first time meeting Odin. Memorial Day. I won't get into any more details than that because I really don't want ESPN knocking on my door asking me questions because I got nothing for you. So don't come in, don't call and interview me over this because I ain't the one. I ain't got nothing. I got no insight. It's surreal that 3 weeks before, literally on Memorial Day, which was 3 weeks before, I was at a cookout. Aaron was there and Odin was there, and I met them both. I'd never met Aaron before that. I never met him. I spent a lot of my life here in Bristol, and certainly know pretty much everybody he knows, you know, but we had never met. And I met him that day, and Odin was there, and, you know, introduced myself, and he introduced himself. And so it was really, really weird for 3 weeks later for all of that to have hit the fan. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I mentioned that on the show. I don't want to really dwell on that because I don't want no unnecessary calls for that because I got nothing. I know nothing. I'm like Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. Okay? For all you old heads out there, I know nothing. I seen nothing. All right. Last topic of the show. And again, if you guys appreciate the callers, we've had 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. I feel like just like I wanna pick things up a little bit. Let me think for a minute, man. You know, we've been talking about, you know, let me just make one last comment. I probably should have said right from the beginning. Just everybody understand that whenever we discuss this case, of course, all of our hearts go out to Olden Lloyd's family. I know his fiance, okay, and I've extended my sympathies to her and the rest of his family, who I do not know. Without doubt, no matter what positions we have, a man was murdered, and our hearts go out to everyone impacted by that murder. And the part two to that, my heart, and you guys can agree or not agree, that's up to you. My heart goes out to the Hernandezes, anyone connected with Aaron's family, because, you know, this is a ripple effect that affects a lot of people, and you can't condemn everybody connected with him because he may or may not have done this. We don't know. So, you know, put yourself in a situation of having a brother, a father, a sister, a cousin, an aunt on trial for something, and you believe that they didn't do it and they're on trial. Yeah, that's not a good spot to be in. So personally, my heart goes out to everybody. And I want to put that out there, that this is real, and there are families and people and children, and they're all impacted and affected by this. And I don't want anyone to think that we're going to handle this insensitively. I can't even get the word out without being sensitive to that fact, because this is real. There are really people that are impacted by it. And we understand this here at the Madden Voice. And I think sometimes when I'm watching TV, I think they forget that. I really do. I think they forget that this is real. Like, this is, you know, just as the Trayvon Martin case, you know, this is real. Someone died, you know, and we all go back, you know, he gets acquitted and we get outraged, or we think it was a good decision, and then we go back to our lives. Well, they got to live with this for the rest of their lives, because that's how deep this runs. So I had to say that because I didn't say that early on and I meant to. Anyway, I know what I'm going to play. See if you guys remember this. I got to pick this up before we, a couple more topics, and then we're going to get out of here. Dr. Train, what's that?
That was... Is that the opening? Is that the opening?
That was our previous opening.
Oh, yeah, all right. I'm trying to remember if it was the opening or the ending, but I don't think it was the opening.
Well, both. I use the same opening and end of the show. Yeah. And this one here, this is for K-Star.
Yeah.
I know I'm sexy. I've got the look. Drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said, chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
We got it right. It's beautiful. That is awesome. And you know what? I wish I could walk. And it was wherever I went. And it's a room, a classroom, at work, a meeting. I don't care. I just wish that song would just go off. Maybe with some, you know, a fog machine or something billowing in the background as I walked in the room. I don't think that's too much to ask for.
And then you would do the little
theme song. Never worked.
First of all, it would work. I don't know if you've seen me lately. I'm gonna tell you, man.
Hold on now.
Just a different day. I had tried to get it,
seed?
Still not quite.
Yeah, still doing the same thing, man. They're doing with 30.
Yeah, we gotta do something. That was so. If all you listeners, we're playing K-Star's theme song, and you know he wants to walk in. He says he's been working out and do the double bicep pose like Shawn Michaels.
Oh yeah.
That was Train's Hustle Hard theme song that we used to play for him, but never could get it right. It just always sounded clunky. And I'm trying to find my personal one that we used to play for me, but I can't find it. Maybe it's gone. Wait a minute. There it is. This was always mine. I always loved this one. Chairman, but also because, you know, when you debate me, you have no chance. And the last thing I'm going to play, well, last two things I'm going to play, just because I wanted to change the, lighten up the atmosphere a little bit.
All right. Obviously, the Steelers won with this game. They're on defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than it was against San Francisco, which is definitely good news, but while we lost Mendon Hall, you know, again, Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us. I just don't see how, you know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against their one defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harris, Lamar Woodley, the cone for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this time.
You don't want to come on the Madden Voice if y'all lose to Denver, man.
Now I'm going to get off. I would forever hate Tim Tebow.
I'm going to get on train. Get on train right now. Okay. With what you gave me about Romo and how on this and that and Romo and he didn't do it and blah, 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 all that bull. Man, do not. I'm going to tell you now. Get a flu. Get a bug. Get a cold. Get something, man. Get a high ankle sprain. Something. But you don't want to come on the Madden Voice next Tuesday night. If I don't care how. I don't care if Ben gets knocked out the first play and don't play the whole game. Don't come on the show next week because there's no way on earth the Steelers should lose it. Now, we said we was going to forget last season. We didn't say we was going to forget the season before last. That's all I'm saying.
Really? We both felt the sting.
We both felt the sting of Tebow time.
Okay. One last one. This is a neutral one.
The Bears are what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Wow. I missed Denny Green.
I still think the greatest chorus commercial was when they integrated the Denny Green thing in there. Wow, he's really mad.
Absolutely.
All right. Before we go out, do our closing comments, real quick, you know what, I'll tell you what, we're going to save this for next week. Okay. I don't want to do this at the end of a show. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is probably one of the first shows we've done in a long time where we really didn't focus in on the Steelers, the Cowboys and the Bears. So,
awesome.
So, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't in your individual segments, but I mean, I think next week we're going to treat the fans to a thorough update on our individual teams, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, and what we think. And I'll have one advantage. I'll have actually seen a few of my players play. I mean, it's the first preseason game, so who knows? Romo said he wants to play, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. We don't need you out there getting hurt first game of a preseason, but he wants to play. But nevertheless, I'll have maybe a little bit of advantage because, you know, some of my guys will actually get some live action. But nevertheless, next week we will do that. Next week we will give updates on our teams. Next week I am going to see, I can't make no promises, but if I can get a cousin of Aaron, Aaron Hernandez is on the show, and we'll see if he wants to come on and talk with us. Also, I have a fitness model who would like to come on and just talk about some things that she's doing. And she's, you know, looking to be discovered. And I told her that, you know, we have a lot of listeners here on the Madden Voice. And, you know, now, you know, I don't know her interest in football, but we'll find that out. But ran, you know, met her out and about and seemed pleasant enough and told her, I do a football show. And I said, you know, and she's like, oh, would you be interested in interviewing me? Yeah, sure, why not? And Train is also working on a special interview, but we won't divulge that just yet, but he's working on that. So we got a lot of nice things. And I also have a former ESPN anchor that has agreed to come on the show. I won't say who it is, but he was an ESPN anchor for a number of years, and he's actually become a very good friend of mine, and lives locally here, and he's committed to come on the show soon too. So we have a lot of things coming up on the Madden Voice, so you guys just stay tuned, and I think you're going to really enjoy what's in store for you this year on the Madden Voice. I was going to talk about this thing I heard real quick, but I'm just going to put it out there that Adrian Peterson is saying that he's going to break Emmitt Smith's record by 2017. That he'll break it
2017.
Right. And he's going to need about 1,900 yards a season to do that. Let me just say one thing. It ain't happening. And I think Adrian Peterson is the best back in the NFL, and he's a phenom. But it ain't happening. People just don't understand what Emmitt went through and the Emmitt's style of play to get to that 18,000-plus yard mark. And what Walter Payton went through to get to 16,000-plus yards. You know, what Barry Sanders did. And Barry was the only one I thought that might beat at that time Walter Payton's record. But he decided to retire. These guys, maybe not so much Walter. Walter thrived on contact. But Barry and Emmitt, in different ways, made people miss. Okay? Different ways. Two different, completely different runners. But very good at making people miss. And Walter was a little different. As great as Adrian Peterson was, y'all got to see Walter in his prime. Undersized, underspeed, and the guy was just an unreal athlete, okay? And had no problem. Oh, yeah, punished. I'm talking about Walter Payton. I got a Bears fan on here. But my point is that I just don't see Adrian Peterson lasting that long. He's going to decline. It's going to hit, just like every other great superstar back. You know, within the next 2 years or so, all those carries, it's going to take a toll. It's not going to happen. Sorry. Love you, AP. Wish you the best all day and all that stuff. It ain't happening.
That's exactly what he wants to hear. He's going to motivate him. I think he set that bar just to get people to say he can't do it, just to motivate him. Because when you're that great, it's not to motivate you. And he's that kind of athlete. Do I think he'll break Emmitt Smith's record? No, but I do think he absolutely has the heart and talent to do so. The question is the longevity. I think it's great. I think it's great. I don't think it's disrespectful whatsoever, just for the record.
Because I didn't say it was disrespectful. Again.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just saying, but I don't want people to get misconstrued. I think Adrian Peterson is just trying to motivate himself. And
But can I just say one thing on that, though? Can you help your team win a Super Bowl, please? I mean, isn't that...
Hey, man, he's doing his best.
He put it exactly on the head. Right there.
Isn't that the ultimate goal, though? Isn't that what you should be talking about? That's all I'm saying.
Between Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson, I want to know who's most selfish about getting the rushing title.
Thank you.
Because neither one of your teams have been consistently in the playoffs or won a Super Bowl.
But K-Star, I'm not saying he's not doing everything in his talent to do so, but what I'm saying is, isn't that what you should be talking about when you're being interviewed? What is it going to take to win the Super Bowl? Not I'm going to get Emmitt Smith's record or Chris Johnson. I'm going to get, you know, the rushing. You know, like, really? When Emmitt was getting, you know, Emmitt started talking about it when he could see Walter's record. Then he started doing more interviews because he was a big fan of Walter Payton. And Walter Payton said before he died, if there was anybody that I would want to break my record, it's Emmitt Smith. So, of course, there was a lot of fanfare around Emmitt going after Walter's record. But in the early 90s, when Emmitt was rushing for 1,300 yards a season, 1,400 yards, whatever, and the Cowboys went, there was no discussion about it then. That's all I'm saying is they were winning Super Bowls, and they were working. It was about Super Bowls. So that's what I'm saying is, just talk to me about winning games and winning Super Bowls. You're the talent, most talented back in the NFL. We already know that, hands down.
Best player in NFL.
Arguably, I won't disagree with you. Arguably, yeah. I can't. Right now, I don't know that I have one that I would put ahead of him. So I really can't. Yeah, I agree with that. So I don't care about your career goals right now. What are you doing to help your
Vikings.
Thank you. I drew a mental, but I knew it was a Viking because I'm thinking Greg Jennings is going there and Christian Ponder, so I knew it was a Viking. What are you going to do to help this team win a Super Bowl? Is it, you know, and I didn't mean to get off on a tangent with this, but since we're on it, is 2,000 yards a year what that team needs to win a Super Bowl? I'm not saying it does or doesn't, but to me, that's the conversation. You know, what is it that your team needs from you? If it's 2,000 yards a season, then fine. Go out there and do it. And at the same time, if you manage to get Emmitt Smith's record, congratulations. But
really,
let's talk about Super Bowls.
If he wants to answer what his team needs, they need Adrian Peterson to turn into a dual back. That's what they need.
Oh, first of all, hold on. He is.
Yeah.
He is good.
He
hands.
Is. They're not using him that way.
Hands.
He is.
He catches the
ball. I hear you,
he's
but
a good back.
They're not using them that way.
Well,
so
that's the coaching.
If
man,
they're
like,
not using them that way, that's the only proof that I have that he isn't, if they're not using them that way.
No. He had a number of receptions last season.
Yeah, what?
I'll say this. I think he had a number of receptions last season. I'll say this, though. I mean, they needed all 2,000-plus yards to get a wild card spot to make the playoffs because, again, I mean, the quarterback is Christian Ponder. The guy has a lot to prove.
Okay, stop. Stop right there for a second. Stop right there. That's the problem right there.
It is a problem.
That's your quarterback. How did he
win Super Bowl? Best. Adrian Peterson needs to bail him out.
That's all I'm saying. All right.
He's not throwing his quarterback under the bus. You never hear him say that. Like, he's not. When I look at Adrian Peterson and I hear what he has to say, I don't hear him and I don't take it the way of him being selfish or him even being self-centered. I look at him as a great, I mean great athlete. Who motivates himself, and honestly, when I say himself, I also mean his team. You know, by the way, he sets goals and heights for himself. Because it's not just for himself. It also, again, helps the team. Because what that team needs from Adrian Peterson to make the playoffs, obviously they need him to be not good, not great, but unreal. So,
okay, but you're putting words in his mouth. You're putting words in his mouth because the conversation had nothing to do with what the team needs to win the Super Bowl. The conversation had to do with him breaking Emmitt Smith's record. If he had came,
he was on NFL Network 2 days ago talking about how, like, aside from the 2,500 yards, before they even came up, he's talking about first things first. He's talking about winning championships.
Okay,
so it's not
but
like he's
there should be no discussion about Emmitt. You're not even halfway there yet, number one, okay? Number two, your team is struggling. Your team is not consistent. You know, you don't play for the Patriots, who's in the Super Bowl, you know, seemingly almost in the Super Bowl every year, but, you know, who wins their division every year. You're playing for a team that's in a very tough division that is not even guaranteed to make the playoffs. To me, there's no reason till you get to – what, 18-plus thousand. Till you get to 15,000, there's no reason to even talk about it. Let's not even discuss it. And if you're asked, you know what, listen, Emmitt Smith's a great back, one of the best of all times, But right now, my team needs to win some games, and we need to try to get to the playoffs so we can win a Super Bowl. And I'm here to do everything in my power to get that. Well, you know, what do you think it would take to break Emmitt Smith's record? Again, what I'm trying to say is Emmitt's a great back, and it's a great record. But right now, we're focused on this season and trying to up the ante and improve and get better so that we can get a playoffs with the Super Bowl. And I'm going to do everything in my power. If I need to rush for 2,000 yards, 2,100 yards, 2,300 yards, I'll do whatever it takes to win a Super Bowl. Okay, now you got my attention. But when it's just about breaking Emmitt Smith's record, I just don't think it's time for that. And don't be baited by the sports reporters that want their headline. You're a grown-ass man. So you can handle this and handle them in a way that shows where your focus is. I think he's a great back. I got no problem with him. I just think it's way too early for there to be a discussion about Emmitt Smith's record. You need to get in the playoffs, win some playoff games, get in the Super Bowl. You you want to be considered an all-time great back? You need to get some wins, some playoff wins under your belt, and get into a Super Bowl, do something.
I thought the Barry Sanders, that's not necessarily true. I mean, Adrian Peterson could go down as an all-time great running back. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but when you talk about the difference between Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders, the first thing that people say is Emmitt had 3 Super Bowls, and Barry, yeah, he played on bad teams. Why do you think he retired after 10 years? Why do you think he retired? He didn't retire because he had no gas in the tank. He retired because he got tired of playing on bad teams. Okay, this is some bullshit, you know, and that's what he said. I'm not putting words in his mouth. He said, I got tired of running around doing all these yards, and it wasn't getting us enough wins to get into the playoffs and win any Super Bowls. And I wanted to retire a Detroit Lion. I was still young enough to pursue other interests, so he said, I saw the team not going in the direction that was going to improve us. It was best for me to just retire. Okay, because his focus was not on getting Walter Payton's record, which he could have had the next year. His focus was on winning. That's the difference. And Adrian Peterson is a great back, and yeah, will go down as an all-time great. But do you want to go down as an all-time great or as the all-time greatest? Well, learn from what Barry did, focused on wins. Learn from what Emmitt did, focused on wins. Go ahead and get all your yards. Go out there and get some wins. And focus on that. Don't let all that other stuff take care of itself. Focus on winning. Charlie Sheen. I'm going to get that as my next sound clip. Winning! That's going to be my next one. Watch. That's going to be my next one. All right. K-Star, your sound off. You're up.
Real quick, Sunday, Hall of Fame game. I mean, we're all thirsty for it. We really are football fans across America, and we're tuning in to this Hall of Fame game Sunday, although it's meaningless. To all the NFL fans, it's meaningful because it's the start of televised football for this calendar season, and it's really exciting. And we might need to touch on this a little next week, but I think there probably should be discussion about this 18-game season again. We probably should talk about that because, again, we're fiends right now, all of us, and I'm starting to crack. I got to be honest, I'm starting to crack a little bit. I might talk about that next week. I don't know, but like I said, this Sunday, I'm looking forward to it, even if it is just the Hall of Fame game.
Well, just quickly, when you say talk about it, in what respect?
Of it, like, seriously getting to the point where I feel like, just as a football fan, that, you know, we not the need is there, the want is there. Like, the desire for it is there. The money, the revenue, and everything is there. For me, it's like we have to wait another, four preseason games before we get to the real action. I wouldn't be mad personally with just 2 preseason games and then an extra 2 games added to the season, like which was discussed. And I think eventually everyone's going to fall into that because, again, I mean, the hype that surrounds the NFL, and like Train even said, he's more excited for this year than last year. That's what always happens. Everyone's a little bit more excited for next year than they were the previous year. And because of that, last time I was all about the 16 game, let's keep it the way it is, and it's great. But now it's like, man, I'm really fiending right now. I'm cracking. It's ridiculous.
I'll just briefly say this, 2 things. One is, the fact that we're fiending means that there's no reason to change it, because that's the whole point. And secondly, I cannot forget when Dwight Freeney came on the show and completely downed the whole 18-game idea and said, you guys don't play this game and realize how hard it is to go week to week at that high level and what it does to our bodies year after year. Now you want to add two more games that count? No. I mean, he emphatically, right, Train? Because you asked him the question. He emphatically said...
I was at that point. Yeah, all NFL players feel that way. We're aware.
But we can revisit it at some point. Okay. Train, I have a feeling I know what you're going to talk about, but Dr. Train's philosophy. I've been waiting for this one myself, so go ahead, Train.
Well, I hinted on this last season when I brought it up, and they were talking about Urlach in his last year of his contract, and no new deal was being struck. And when he got injured, I said, is this possibly the last time we see Urlacher play? And I'll be damned if that was the last time we see Urlacher play. But the bigger picture of it is, you know, when you have a veteran like that, someone who has that type of leadership on your team, all the players on your team, you know, possibly all the players on your team respect, is still able to play, how do you not get a deal done to keep him around another 1 or 2 years? I thought, for a shadow of a doubt, that because of what happened with Ray Lewis in Baltimore, that definitely Urlacher would still be a Bear right now as we're talking today on July 30th on the Madden Boys. Yeah, but he's not. So what message are you sending to your other veterans who don't even have the household name of Urlacher when their time is up? I mean, that to me almost seems like Charles Tillman would possibly not be a Bear after this season. And this dude is a very good cornerback. A very good cornerback. So.
Our business.
All I can say is, I agree. Sad day in Chicago, man, if you ask me. All right. T-Bonics. First T-Bonics of the year. So, I was watching First Take a couple months ago, and they were talking about, this was Stephen A. Smith, was talking about, now I'm trying to remember, the context was Tim Tebow playing tight end. And this came up, when the Patriots picked up Tebow and what are they going to do with him. And then, of course, Gronkowski's hurt. And then, you know, obviously the Hernandez situation. So a lot of people want to say, you know, make Tim Tebow a tight end. And Stephen A. Smith says, you know, there are, you know, probably 100 tight ends in the NFL that would be very offended by that. They played either wide receiver or tight end their whole careers. You don't just wake up and just play tight end. And, you know, there's probably another, you know, 200 in college football that played their whole career and trying to get into the NFL and would be very upset that people just think you can just convert someone to a tight end so easily. It's just not a piece of cake. It's a skill position just like anything else. And he said, and that's not what I'm taking exception to. But then he went on to say, I get people on Twitter that, you know, hit me up and want to come on the show and debate me, Stephen A. Smith. And I say, sure, you can do that if you have 4 years of journalism education, 20 years of being a sports writer, doing a local beat in Philly and in New York, and earned your shot with the worldwide leader ESPN. And now, you know, with the success that I've had along with Skip Bayless and other people. And sure, if you want to go through that path and then earn your way on this show, no problem. And I heard it, and at first I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, you know, of course, you know. But then I started thinking for a minute. That's kind of like someone saying, I want to be a millionaire. And someone saying, well, you know, if you want to work for, if you want to make $40,000 a year for 25 years and save every penny, you'll be a millionaire. And the next person's saying, well, I'm sorry, I'd rather earn $250,000 for 4 years and save every penny and be a millionaire, right? There's more than one route to get somewhere. And it led me to think, because you were a sports writer, does that make you more knowledgeable about the NFL? Because you write for whatever newspaper or whatever online publication? Does a former coach know more about the NFL? Does a former player? Now, let me just give you guys my theory here. Sports writers rely on sources. Sources say this guy is getting a new contract. Sources say A-Rod is suspended, right? They create sources, and they can't name their sources, right? And they build relationships by creating these sources. And they do things to get these sources. So do you think that when what's the guy's name on ESPN that always covers the Cowboys? Can't remember his name. Ed. And he was covering T.O. And he had all these inside tips and all these sources. Do you think that there was any bias reporting going on there? I say not. You know, you protect people. If I'm on a team, if I'm on the Cowboys, and I'm giving you tips on Terrell Owens that you can go out and report, then what you're saying is I'm not going to talk about you and what you've done and the negativity you may have in your backyard because you just gave me this juicy piece of information. So that's our deal. Okay, I'm going to keep your stuff off the air. You give me this piece of information, right? Former coaches, the majority of them are looking for another job. So they're going to be very careful with what they say and how they say it because they're looking for another job. Former players, well, they need another job. But there's still a fraternity. Now, don't get me wrong. There's exceptions to every rule. I love Herm Edwards. He's very entertaining. But, you know, if somebody approached Herm Edwards and wanted to pay him $10 million a year, do you don't think he'd take that job? Former players, they form a fraternity, right? So I am now working for Fox Sports, and I'm covering football. And, you know, I used to play for the Raiders, and now we're covering a Raiders game. Am I going to put everything out there that I know? Well, if I do, I'm going to get shut out and not get any more information from the Raiders. My fans are no longer going to be my fans. So I have to be very careful. I have to walk a fine line. The point that I'm trying to make is, it's real simple. Maybe these people have been more exposed to sports, but if you want the straight, unbiased, unprejudiced truth, if you want viewpoints that are not slanted towards whatever the cause of the week is, whatever the purpose of the day is, you should get it from a knowledgeable fan. You should get it from a fan that's got, we have no axe to grind in this. I got none. No one's owing me anything. I do what I do, and so do my two co-hosts. So the walk away from this is think carefully where you're going to get your sports news from, particularly your NFL news from, your NFL information from. And I know to some degree you're still going to go to the big networks and get it. But when you want entertainment, when you want a fresh approach, when you want something a little bit different, come to the Madden Boys. Come check us out. And if you don't like what we're doing, drop me a line and let me know because we'll change it up in a second. If it makes sense, we'll change it up in a second. And that's my T-Bonics for tonight. We seem to have lost K-Star. So, Train, any last words?
Just want to say I'm excited to be back on the air with TMV. Looking forward to the next week and the week after and the week after that. Planning the EAFL Fantasy Football Draft. You know, we got to do the online draft order, live draft order. I like when I do it in cahoots with you. Kind of makes it more exciting for me.
Mm.
And the last thing I want to say is, man, I'm just praying that my team can steer away from this injury bug, from any major injuries. We've already lost one guy. One guy retires, And then another guy we lose, reserve defensive end, you know, he's like fourth on the depth chart, but still lost him to for the rest of the season with torn Achilles. So actually, the same K-Star said at the beginning, for all teams, man, these injuries, they hurt the game because you want to see these players. So I'm praying that the players can make it through training camp and teams make it through training camp without too many major injuries.
Good point. Well, we seem to have lost K-Star. Not really sure why, but I'm sure if he was still on the line, he would also express his excitement for the season to begin. So, hey, you know, without any further ado, let the season begin. First game Sunday, Hall of Fame game, Cowboys, Dolphins, and we're off and running. So, for Dr. Train, for K-Star, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We will be back, I think, next Tuesday, but stay tuned. Talk with the guys and see. We will definitely start weekly shows when the season starts. We may do weekly now. We got to see what's there really to talk about. I want to make sure that we have enough substantive information to pass along to you guys. So tentatively next Tuesday, if not the following Tuesday. But as they say, check your local listings, and you'll find out when the Madden Voice will be back on. And, you know, we've got some great guests and some great specials coming up. So check us out, the Madden Voice, Facebook, Twitter. We're right here. blogtalkradio.com, the Madden Voice. We'll talk to you soon. And remember, the Madden Voice, where all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody.